Welcome, everybody, to the Slicey Dicey Podcast. This is Brian. We also have with us Zell.
How you doing?
And Stasa23.
Hello, people.
Hello, everybody. Brian from the Slicey Dicey channel, if I did not specify what channel I'm from. Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 2.
Oh, yeah.
We beat the odds makers. We made it to a second one.
Yeah.
Good one. And we're still enjoying it.
And we're only a little bit late. So that's not horrible.
Okay.
And we're going to be late on the next one, just to give you guys a little bit of a warning. I'm going to be out of the country, so we're going to be a little bit late with the next one. But
and he's not taking us, people. He's not taking us. We're upset about that.
He's getting big European vacation, and he's leaving us stateside.
It's not vacation. Man. It's a business trip.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but it would have been cool to have
that it's a business trip. But then you tell us about the places you're going.
I'm going to be gone for almost 2 weeks, and I have to work for 2 days. So
I mean, it sure would have been nice to have a podcast in another country.
Yeah.
I would do it all in German just to mess with you. That's a lie. I don't speak that much German. I speak enough German to order food and get around, but that's about it. But first of all, let's thank our sponsor. We have Best Tech, who is giving us lots of cool stuff to pass along to you guys. Best Tech, great maker of knives. I think we're all big fans of Best Tech. So glad we got them as a sponsor because we don't have to pretend that we like them because we already did before the show started. So that's really good.
It's good to have a sponsor that you like.
And we finally figured out a way to give some stuff to you guys. Last episode, we weren't really sure how we were going to do it. So here is how you can win a little prize package from Best Tech. We have a myriad of things. It'll be a surprise to us as much as it is to you for what you get. Send us questions at sliceydiceypodcast@gmail.com. Next episode, we'll answer some of those questions. And who the three of us deem by a democratic process, which is mostly rock, paper, scissors, will win a little prize package from Best Tech. Not just one item. There's like two or three things you're going to get. It's going to be pretty cool. So,
please and they probably will get progressively nicer later as we go. You know, and we'll probably do a big prize for something nice.
Well, don't tell them that. They're going to save the good questions till later.
Well, hey, it might not be for a question. We're probably going to have to switch it up here and there.
Yeah, we'll change it here every now and then. I like doing the thing. I wish we had live comments on this. My favorite way to give stuff away on YouTube is if somebody makes a comment that makes me laugh, they win something.
Yeah, that's how I did it for mine. Me and my daughter picked them, and I was like, which one of these do you think's the funniest? And she's like, the one that asked me if I was a unicorn.
Yeah, that was a great video, by the way. Your daughter's adorable.
Yeah, I love it when she takes part.
My kids are teenagers. They've long passed adorable. One's bigger than me, and one occasionally yells at me.
And then they got your genes, so
yeah, it's not good when they're both smarter than me too, which is not good. So let's get on some more knife related stuff. What's everybody got in their pocket today? Nick, you go ahead, first. Zell.
Well, after Staza kind of embarrassed us last week.
I know. I thought the same thing when I got up this morning. I'm like, I'm packing heat today.
This morning, I got dressed and I put it all on before I got naked for the podcast.
And then God, I wish you wouldn't have gave me that thought.
Some of that sweet, sweet cell booty.
So then I just put it out here on the table. So what we've got this week, for my big knife this week, I'm carrying a ZT0393, the 20 CV version, which is
I like that one.
They've already got sprint runs out in S30N. I mean, oh my goodness. I just barely got mine and they started. And then in my other front pocket, I have the Wee Wisp. That's the new little thin, small slicer from Wee.
The talk of the town.
Yeah. A lot of people are people are more into the rectifier. I've got one of those on the desk too, but man, pretty cool knife. And just to make you guys happy, I still have the proper in my pocket, and I have actually used it.
Yay!
Finally.
We'll get you there eventually.
Maybe. We got more news to talk about later on that, too.
Yeah, we do, yep.
And I've got a 58 millimeter Swiss Army knife, Rambler as always. And, you know, I really didn't change a whole lot else up from last week, except that I do have my key bar USB in my pocket. The actual key bar is in the drawer in my truck. And I did pick up the Olight SR2 baton. It's the 18650 model, the slightly bigger one. And I really, really love that model flashlight. It's just...
Is it easy to EDC or...
Yeah, I have the smaller one too, the SR, I believe. I've got it sitting right here. The SR1 or S10R, and this is the S2R is the one that I like. The S10R is just, it's too small.
Like, yeah.
It's the same, it's the CR123A diameter.
I got that one.
But it's so small that it doesn't want to sit right in the pocket. And the S2R is the 18650 size. Has just a little more length to it, and it sits in the pocket a little bit better. And let's see, what else? This week I have a Wii tactical pin instead of the ZT, which I carry it on occasion. It's okay, but it's one of those ones you have to twist to get apart, where the Wii, you just, or not the Wii, the ZT, you just, it's got an opening, you just snap it off.
Yeah.
Oh, and let's see, I've got the Milwaukee Ink Saw, as always. Gotta have one of those things.
What is that?
It's a Sharpie, but it's branded by Milwaukee, and it's got a fine point on it that beats the heck out of any of the Sharpies.
Well, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I think the ink is a bit different in those too. They seem to write on more things than a Sharpie will write on.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't used a Sharpie in a long time. I've been using these inks all for quite a while.
I have to check that out for my sharpening system.
I use Sharpies for the massive amount of autographs I sign all the time.
The ink all comes in because, see, it inks all. I never run out of ink. It just keeps going and going and going.
So if I have to sign a boob, it'll work fine.
Absolutely. You do. No, I'm not going to go there. Anyhow.
You answered that too quickly.
Yeah. You know, a family podcast. We can't be going too deep.
Yeah.
And the last thing, of course, are the two phones I've always got to carry around. Got a Samsung and an iPhone, and the keys for the new RAM.
Gotcha. Hey, you been enjoying that truck or what?
Oh, man. You know, the last new truck I bought was a 2001.
Yeah, you're like me.
I've had some cars in between, some, you know, kind of commuter type stuff. But I hadn't had a new truck, and I finally stumbled on that really good deal on that RAM, and it just makes me realize how much I've missed over the past 18 years.
Oh, yeah, especially the comfort of the ride.
Oh, yeah, man, the thing rides good. It's got the Bluetooth stuff in there for the phone. It's got, you know, the fancy XM radio junk. I mean, all the stuff that I've had in the commuter cars, but I've never had in my truck.
Yeah, that's like whenever I get into my wife's nice SUV, it feels like I drive the Flintstone car because it's just, mine's so basic, which I'm fine with, but it's just not a comfortable ride.
Yeah, and I still like my old 3/4 ton. It's big, it's bad, it's, you know, it's got 34-inch tires on it and all that fun stuff. And, you know, you can pull trees with it, but it's just nowhere near as comfortable as this Ram is. Anyhow, what do you got, Stas? Are you going to freaking embarrass us all again?
I don't think so. Not today.
Not today, he says.
Not today. Yeah, it'll be next week.
Well, it was a little generalized. Go ahead.
Yeah, the one thing I forgot to mention, because everything's laying on top of it, is the 400-pound gorilla Hank.
Oh, hey, that's what I'm talking about.
The 400-pound
Hank.
It's been 3 or 4 months ago, made me 3 or 4 Hanks. Part of it was a joke, and part of it was actually to be cool, because he knows I'm a Cards fan. He made me 2 or 3 Hanks that have card stuff on them, and then he made me one that's Cards on one side, Cubs on the other.
Sweet.
Which is so wrong.
So you blow your nose on the Cubs side?
Well, absolutely. You know, you got to show the Cardinal pride on one side and blow your nose on the Cubs.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on your Instagram.
I'm a Yankees fan, so I have no dog in that fight.
Yeah, me neither. So, in my pockets today, my front right pocket, I'm carrying my large Inkosi, Chris Reeve Inkosi Insingo. In my left pocket, as far as blades, I am carrying the Viper Knives Lily, one I just got picked up the other day.
Yeah, I've got one of those on the way. That one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it so far. It had a little issue out of the box, but I somehow figured it fixed it. So I'm proud of myself for that.
Excellent.
And I had put the Insingo in my pocket before that, I just got to let y'all know, but being you already had it anyway, I did have the Wisp in my pocket because I'm carrying this one for review since my subscribers all wanted this review first, but it was out of the pocket. It's out of the pocket as of right now, so I won't count that one. also, in my left pocket, I have a custom wood pin that my neighbor made for me out of Bacody wood. It's a little pin.
That stuff your neighbor makes, man. I've got to put in an order with him. That is some stuff.
And he does such a good job.
Find him at stasasneighbor.com.
That's right.
you can see, I mean, I'm sure I posted some pictures of the pen on Instagram, and he's a great guy, and we've been friends since, you know, it's always good to have a good neighbor, and, you know, he made that for me a while back, so I got that pen on me today. Around my necklace, I still have the Mech Army little Luminex flashlight. I always almost have that around my neck just because it's so light. I forget it's there, and I always have a little light. I think it has 120 lumens, so, I mean, perfect for pretty much anything I'm ever going to use it for. Great. And
all light.
Yeah, and it pumps out a good bit of lumens. In my back left pocket, I have my Beard Novel Custom Hank. My back right pocket, I have my gun deck wallet, and that's going to do it for today, fellas.
All right, so it didn't embarrass us too bad.
No, not too bad. what do I have? I've got my main knife I'm carrying today. I have a Spyderco Mannix 2 in the Crewware and carbon fiber. I did not mean to acquire. It was that big table sale thing, and my buddy Mike.
You grabbed one.
My buddy Mike sent me a whole bunch of stuff, and it didn't.
You're supposed to sell the blades, dude.
I know, but we wound up working out a trade accidentally, kind of, because I was going to sell a Spyderco Mannix 2 backlock, but it's actually still currently on its way back from Spyderco. I had to send it back because one of the torque screws for the pocket clip, the little, you know, receptacle that's glued into the scale because there's no liners on it.
Yeah.
Pop loose. So I had to send it back. He wanted that, and I didn't get it back in time for the sale. And this Mannix 2 didn't sell. So I traded that and another knife, and I just loved it. I love the Mannix 2. It's my favorite Spyderco. And
I love the ergos of the Mannix too.
It's so good. It fits my hands so good. And I've had a lightweight forever. I had a M4, one of the Blade HQ special edition ones, the jade ones. I had that for a bit, but it wasn't the non-DLC. I didn't carry it a whole lot because M4, I just worry about it getting patinaed and blah, 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 blah. But Crewware seems to be, from what I read, not that much worse than D2, and I've never had a D2 corrode, so I figured,
hey, I'll tell you, I'm just going to use it. I have a Crewware Mannix, and it was there one of the special ones where they had like the white grayish colored D10, and pretty much it would be my top three hardest knives ever to sharpen on a Wicked Edge. I don't know why. I don't know if that's the case with Crewware, but
no,
it
is. It is. I'm not. I won't even try.
It took a great mirror polish edge, but oh my gosh, it felt like it took me an hour longer than a normal blade.
I won't even try it. I'll just send it off somewhere. But they hold an edge forever, so I don't mind using it. But anywho,
super tough too.
That's the main knife I've got, and then I have a ZT-0609, the 20 CV, the bronze one.
I like that one too.
Mostly, because I love it anyway. It's probably one of my favorite knives I own. But now MXG Gear makes a bronze.
I was just about to ask you about that.
Deep carry clip that matches perfectly. I mean, it matches so perfectly.
Does it function nice?
Yeah, it's good. It's like any, you know, aftermarket deep carry clip. You don't have inset screws, so
yeah.
Sometimes you got to give it a little bit of a wiggle to get it all the way down in. But yeah, other than that, the tension's fine, and it also does the exact same thing the stock clip does, where it just kind of kisses the frame, so it's not pushing the lock bar. It hits in exactly the same spot. They did an awesome job with it.
That's something really great. The guy from MXG Gear, I've noticed he does a good job of actually, I don't know if he has the knives on hand, but he does a really good job of making sure they function properly.
Yeah, they hit the same spot the manufacturer one did.
Yeah.
Which is good, so.
As long as you put it.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it works great and it looks amazing. Like, I didn't think, I don't trust anodization to ever match.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing.
And I thought, this isn't going to match. And when I took it out of the box, it didn't match. It was kind of, had that.
Your oils made it match, huh?
Yeah, that purpley hazy. And I just rubbed my thumb over it a couple times and it matched. So it works. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. And then I have also a Benchmade Proper is in my jacket pocket. And what light am I carrying? I don't remember which one. One of my smaller ones.
I feel left out. I don't have any slip joints on me today.
I know. And I have a Streamlight, one of the little bitty, I've had this, the MicroStream Streamlight. I've had this forever. It's just one of the little single A ones. I like it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, those are very durable lights. They're not the brightest, but very durable.
Yeah, I had to work on my car a bit today, and you can just slap it on the bill of a hat, and that's really cool that it points.
Oh, yeah, you got the smaller one?
Yeah, I got the little bitty one.
Yeah, and man, those things are tough. My girls, my wife and two daughters, they carry the even smaller version of that thing, the one that uses little watch batteries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On their key rings. And they've had them things on their key rings for like 3 or 4 years. They're beat all to hell, and they still work.
Yeah.
That's the selling point of those. Like I said, they're not super bright, but they're so tough.
Yeah, they work really, really well. And then I've got a pocket pen I think I have today. That's become kind of, I have all these really nice pens, and then I bought this big batch of these cheap pocket pens, and I carry them all the time.
Ever since I've seen those, I want to get one so bad, especially they got really cool colors and styles on there. I either want one of those, or I don't remember whose EDC I saw it on, but somebody makes like a stainless looking, like kind of the same concept. It's like really small until you pull the cap off and turns into a full size pen. Yeah, it almost looks like a Karas Customs pen, but I'm either gonna get a few of those pocket pens. Oh, they look like they're very lightweight. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah, they weigh like less than an ounce. They're crazy light. And I think they're like 0.2 ounces. They're ridiculous light. I mean, there's almost nothing.
You don't have to worry, but you don't have to feel bad if you lose it, right? It's not expensive.
No, and if you look around, and I've got a review in the can I haven't put up, but I got mine from JT's Knife Life, great channel. He did a little review of them, and he had a promo code, so I got like $20 off on the first order, and I did that, and now I have a promo code that'll be in my review of it also too. So I think I got 5 pens, and then I also got a little thing they had that you get two waterproof notebooks and 2 pens. And then they also just gave me a free clear one that I gave my wife. Well, my wife stole.
Now, and are the notebooks like Right in the Rain, or are they? Yeah, they're like brand?
It's a Right in the Rain ones, yeah. No, but I think the whole order shipped to me was like $17.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're great value and they're just cool, and you don't. If you lose, I've already lost one, and I didn't even bother to look for it. Like, I have a rough general idea of where it is, but I'm not really that worried about it. Because basically, you wind up paying, even if you're paying full boat retail, they come out to less than $2 a pen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You can.
And they write well?
They write really well, and you can order up to 20 of them at a time.
Oh, and wow. they're throwaways, right? Once you run out of ink, you just toss it.
They're completely disposable ones, yeah.
Man, I like that.
My favorite disposable pen I've ever used. And then I've just got all my usual, my little Leatherman on my keychain and that kind of stuff and my wallet. And I did get something I do want to mention, and I may even do a review on this. If I reviewed two things I got for my trip, it would be my Osprey backpack, which I did not have with me today, but I do love. But I got a new cool jacket. It's not a, not saying it's cool. It's the brand name, KUHL.
I was about to say, is that the brand name?
Yeah, KUHL.
Yeah.
I got a cool bird jacket. I freaking love it. It's cut so well. It's like a wax canvas kind of thing. And
nice.
But not heavily waxed. It's not completely waterproof. It's just, it's really well done. And just the way it's cut, it's so comfortable. Not as many pockets as I'm used to, but it's only got three pockets. But they make them up to like six, seven pocket jackets. But this is only a three pocket one. But it's so comfortable and it works great. That is where my my Benchmade proper is residing at the moment.
I'll check that out.
But yeah, it's a, and it looks stylish enough that you can wear it anywhere, but it also doesn't look out of place if you're out in the woods.
Nice.
Well, that's always good. Because yeah. You always look good if you're in the woods.
Well, no one sees you, so who would know?
That's if you're camouflaged.
So, you want to move on to the actual subjects we have prepared?
Yeah, well, I guess we could.
Now, hang on. Aren't we supposed to do our acquisitions?
We are. I almost skipped the acquisitions. Yeah,
Johnny on the spot right there.
Now I have to think. What? I'll let you guys go first while I try and remember.
Okay, well, I can take that one up. I've got two on the way. One of them may be here today. If we get the podcast done, I may run out and see. But I've got that same one that Staz has got in his pocket, that...
Lil,
yes. And I got... There we go. I got a bunch of feedback in the mic. Got that fixed. And I talked to the people at Three Rivers Manufacturing. Or people, I say people. I talked.
You're going to like this, Brian.
Three Rivers Manufacturing. And I have a Viator on the way.
Woo!
Did you hear that? That's a slip joint, people.
It is a heavy-duty slip joint. You're going to have to get used to that. It is. I think it's definitely a two-hand closer. I think Zell
will like that part.
It's a two-hand closer. You can close it one-handed if you're a brave son of a bitch, but I prefer to close it two-handed.
Right, and then, of course, we have some Wii's. I've always got new Wii knives because, well, that's just the way things work whenever you deal with them. And they have sent over a Zeta, which I need to get a video up on. And then those three little ones have caused quite a stir. All those little thin ones, the Wisp, the Vapor, and the Rectifier. And, you know, that Rectifier has caused a lot of people to get excited. Over,
yeah, for good reason.
Instagram. And yeah, definitely for good reason.
Yeah, that looks like it was a knife designed for Brian.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are saying the same exact thing.
Yeah, designed for Brian in a very boring black and stone white.
Absolutely.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the plain Jane knife.
No, we're just going to start calling them plain Brian knives, though.
Yeah.
Did you get one of them plain Brian knives in?
I do always order the most boring possible combination. Although
My Delica
is purple.
This is true, but you know, to be a plain Brian knife, it's got to be black, gray, no coatings of any sort on the blade, no mirroring coatings on the blade. Has to be stonewash or just belt finish.
Mirroring's fine.
No. We're talking about plain Brian blades.
I just like a monochrome. I don't care if it's chrome. It just has to be monochrome.
Okay, so flash on the blade, and it can't be a plain Brian blade.
That's because my lighting is bad in my studio.
Yeah, okay. send you a link to some good lights.
I have good lights. It's just my my lack of ability to execute them.
You can send me that link because I'm trying to upgrade my lighting as we speak.
All right.
Is that all? That's your load for the week?
Oh yeah. That's about it. There's some more stuff on the way, but can't really talk about any of that yet.
Secrets. All right. Well, I guess I'll go. Of course, like we said, I got that new Viper. Is it pronounced Lil?
Lil, yeah. It's a town. Okay. It's a town in France.
Okay, actually,
I have the story on why it has that name.
Give it to me.
I talked to Jesper Vones this morning, and his daughter, who is the youngest of his kids, was the inspiration for the design of that knife. And because she's the youngest of the kids, they call her Lil.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That's how it got the name.
It's spelled like the town in France, so that's where I thought it was.
Right. I love hearing backstories of whenever a knife actually has a meaning behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Or a knife name.
You know, I just talked to Jasper, and I was like, hey, dude, do you got anything you want me to know about the knife before we do, you know, the reviews and the media stuff on it? And that was the biggest thing he wanted me to know, was that his daughter was the inspiration for the design.
Well, I think that's cool. I mean, I'd want, if I ever made a knife like that and they had that, I would definitely want people to know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because best dad ever, immediately. Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, I got the Viper Lil. I've been enjoying that one. And another knife that I had wanted from day one, I didn't really want to pay what the price was. And I was doing a sale here recently on my Instagram, and I did a blade trade for the VDK Pharaoh, produced by Wee Knives. It's that very dramatic upswept Persian style blade. It kind of looks like a rhino horn.
Right. Yeah.
And anybody who's subscribed to me knows that I my favorite blade shapes are clip point Bowie. And the next would probably be a Persian. Now, I usually, you know, this Persian is like extremely upswept, and I didn't really come across in pictures. Now, I still like the knife, but it's definitely a lot more exaggerated than I thought. I also have the new Ontario Carter Trinity. What else do I have? And I have knives. I have the Wisp and Rectifier for on loan for review. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. And also the Bestech Imp that I have for review. And that's it for me.
Man, that Imp and Gnome, I've got those on the desk right here. We were talking about the Bestech stuff. And
which one's a Gnome?
It's the gnome is the imp with a little bit more blade instead
that's
of
goblin, huh?
Oh, goblin. Yeah, you're right, man.
Some gnome. Sort of mythical creature.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason I knew that is because I was whenever I was writing the review for it, I had to look that up. So.
Yeah, the goblin man, that
yeah
for the small Bestex, that thing. Well, we all
the
wanted.
Zen is pretty nice too.
Yeah, it is, but we all wanted. That Jesper Vones knife, the Pillar,
yes,
to come in upgraded materials.
Yes.
I mean, I did. I know you guys did. Everybody, I mean, anybody has fussed about it. And what does Bestech do? Well, they go their own way with the knife. They've got it's their own handle design and everything, but they just nail it as far as blade design and ergonomics.
And premium steel, premium everything.
Absolutely. And they have, I know, Staza, you made me a freaking awesome carbon fiber scale for that Pillar, but it's sitting on the drawer right now because if I pick up one of those knives, it's going to be the Imp or the Goblin.
Yeah, well, the Goblin is very, very tempting to me. That's one that's on the to-buy list.
That's the definite same thing with me. I mean, I took a lot of time and modified my Pilar, acid washed it, and I made several scales for it, and I heat colored the lock side. I put a lot of hours into that, or maybe a couple of hours into that knife, and it's sitting in the case ever since. Right now I only have the Imp, but I think I have a Goblin coming in, but it took a backseat quickly just because it's got better action. It's got a full, you know, a great handle ergos and steel that's not going to take as much maintenance.
Yeah, see, there we go, guys. Accidentally pimping the sponsor.
Yep. Yeah. It's just genuine fanboyism, though. It's not because they give our people free stuff.
Yeah, but if it would have been ZT making that knife, I would have been fanboying it up with them too. That's one thing that you won't really see. I'm not a fanboy for really any company because I'm just nuts about knives. So it doesn't really matter who makes it.
Oh yeah, it's just it just makes it easy when the company that's sponsoring our nice stuff.
Yeah, we wouldn't take them as a sponsor if we didn't like them because lying to people isn't fun.
No.
All right, where were we?
I got to talk about what I got in, which is mostly just the Mannix 2 crew wear that I mentioned that I stole from my own sale. And, and also from the same sale I stole also, I have a really nice Leo traditional that I like a lot.
Leo, who makes that?
It's a French company that's been around for like 100 and some years. They're gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
They're beautiful knives. I did a review of another one, and Mr. Gear Bear that loans me a lot of stuff, he has 5 or 6 Leos, and he sent me his cheapest one. It's blue micarta, brass standoffs and all, or brass, bolsters and all that. It's gorgeous. Grinds a bit weird on it, which I guess isn't that uncommon. I'm going to send it off and get it reground to make it even prettier than it is. It's already gorgeous. Nothing that affects it functionally, but I see it because I'm me. But I got a good deal on that. And then most everything else I got from you guys, I have the Wii Zephyr and the Wii Array.
Zephyr. Ooh, I love the Zephyr.
Oh, the Zephyr is so nice. That's why I'm excited to try the Vapor. So the Vapor to me looks like kind of like a shrunk down Zephyr. Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, in some ways. It's got more of a, drop pointy, spear pointy
blade. Oh, yeah, the blade shape's totally different. But as far as like ergos and stuff, does it feel like a shrunk down Zephyr?
Yeah, it's a little thinner, but yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, aesthetically it is, which is a good thing. And then the Array, I like a lot about it. It bit me. But which it is apparently off to do.
Yes.
And not badly. And I tried to make it bite me. I don't think in regular practice it would have bit me. But I saw other people say, oh, it bit me when I did this. So I did that and it did.
That's usually a good thing to do.
The sacrifices I make for you people.
You had warning, man. And you did it anyhow.
I just wanted, because I couldn't see how it would do it. I didn't think it would do it. I thought, no, must be my fingers are okay. And they weren't. I just bit my pinky a little bit, reaching in my pocket one time. tiny little, was but a scratch.
All right. Hey,
speaking of, on that topic, before we get off of it, something that I see a lot of reviewers talking about, won't name any reviewers' names, but talking about how the blade could cut them in the closed position on, like, the actual exposed blade from the back side of the knife.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. Unless the knife, like, unless it's open enough to where it's, like, super easy, I've never, ever come close. Now, I've gotten the point cut me on my Sabenza twice on my 21, but as far as sliding my hand on side of a knife, I would have to really be trying to cut myself.
And I was being intentionally careless. I wouldn't say that I was trying to make it cut me, but I was being intentionally careless.
But that was the tip, right?
No, it's right where it closes, like right up by the choil. Okay. Comes really close. But I love everything else about the knife other than the blade thickness and that tendency to occasionally bite you.
Yeah, the heel of the blade. And it's a thing that's happening. You know, we all want blades to be shorter. We all want the handle, whenever the blade's inside the handle, closed to be shorter. And whenever we do that, we also want these indexing points on the backside of the knife behind the flipper tab. And whenever you do all that, you expose yourself more and more to the heel of the blade. You know, like I've got a Festec Predator in my hand. There we go, pimping the dang sponsor again. Wish it had been something else. But anyhow, and hand touch the blade on that Predator. But I've carried this knife extensively, and it has never cut me.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it won't and can't happen. I'm just saying that I've never had it happen, and I've had some that were pretty darn close. Now, some, yeah, I definitely, those type of knives that I really want to carry and they're that close, I carry it in my left pocket to where that part of the blade is facing the opposite direction. I know that's weird, but that's just how I do it.
Safety first.
Yeah.
And then what else do I have? I got a knot to pimp the sponsor again. I got a couple of best techs. I have the Not Mine. Nick was nice enough to send to me. I have a Starfighter, which I liked infinitely more than I expected to.
Same here.
I don't even mind the colors of it. I don't even mind the copper and the blue. And I'm the most boring human ever. And I think I think it looks really cool. And
yeah, that's what I thought you wouldn't have liked about it. That's one thing that I was like, you're probably not gonna like that.
But I like it. It looks great in person. And the Grampus.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen a Grampus yet.
It's pretty cool. It's a big beefy user, but I really like it. Doesn't slide it into the pocket particularly easily, but
it's a big bruiser, man.
And it's just grippy. It's just super grippy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something about the one thing that I'm not a huge fan of, and I'm hoping that they will listen to people's reviews and stuff. I think the Grampus is suffering from it. Does it have a stainless backspacer with the skull crusher on it?
Yes.
See, I'm not a fan of that. And majority of their knives, I think with the Lion, I did it to the Lion because it had that you can take that out because it does have pillars in there. But I don't know if that one does or not, but it just makes the balance point and everything a lot better.
Yeah.
Completely disagree with you, Nick. I've got the Lion here right in front of me, and that old skull crusher thing that they've got on there, the coolest part of that skull crusher is whenever you put that thing in your right pocket, that leads your hand into your pocket nice and smooth. And you're not grabbing on anything. There's no texture back there. The backside of your hand can just slide right down that knife, and it guides it right in.
Yeah. Well, I can see that. I guess on my part, it's just the weight. That throws me off.
Yeah. Whenever you took it out, I thought, I kind of agree with him. It's a little weird. Maybe I'll take it out. And then I noticed that about getting it, my hand in my pocket, and I was like, oh, never mind. No, that's cool. I like that.
Well, and that's a cool point. You know, that's something that's why I like when we talk about certain knives, because, you know, I wouldn't have thought about it like that. It wouldn't have been something I would have even noticed because I took it right out right away.
Let's wrap this up so we can get on to the proper subjects. And then I got a couple of Tuyas. I haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with those. I have the cleverly named G2 model, or D2 Ooh. Model, sorry, which is obviously D2 steel.
Yeah.
And then I've got a Thorax, which is actually pretty nice.
Oh, I like that's a clip point.
Yeah, it's the big titanium one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot because, of course, I love clip points.
Yeah, the action on it's great and it works good. And then the last one I already put up for a review, but I finally got my Tengram Progression.
Tengram, okay, that's the
Dirk Pinkerton designed one. Yeah, and man, that was a thing with Amazon. I don't want to get into it a whole lot here because we could rant forever. But
yeah, that was crazy.
I only got it from Amazon because it's the only place you could get them. I like to support actual knife shops, but Tengrams are only on Amazon or eBay if you want to pay too much. And that's how Kaiser's keeping the cost down, and I get it. But Amazon shipping policies are out of hand.
Yeah. See, and that's great because I never had to experience that just because the area I live in, that's crazy.
Yeah, they just declared the flipper tab to be illegal in New York State when it is not.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like Blade HQ and all these other, I don't know about Blade HQ, but like Knife Center and all of them won't sell me an automatic knife when they're legal to own in my state. They're just not legal to carry.
Yeah, same here in New York. It's legal to own if you have a hunting or fishing license.
So why not sell it to me, you know?
Yeah, but it's just been ridiculous. But anyway, I got it, and I love it. If you watch the review of the knife itself is very positive. The review of the Amazon purchasing, not so positive.
Not so positive.
I had to have it sent to somebody else who sent it to me.
Okay, us knife nuts do what we got to do.
But the actual subjects we wanted to get to today, let's start out with, this is something that I know I've been asked a lot. And I'm gonna change exact. I'm gonna reword a bit what I put on the notes for you guys just to throw you off. So we're talking about price versus true value to the purchaser. Like, where is that line? So how I'm gonna simplify that and word it is, what do you guys think? How much does that an average person like have to spend on a knife? Like, where would you say the line is of where it's a knife that you don't really need to spend anymore? It's fine if you do, but at X amount of dollars, you're getting most of what you'd get if you spent a lot more.
I'd say anywhere from the $100 to $150 price point, you're pretty much at, you can get your high-end steel still, and that's about the price cutoff. Now, what do you think about that, Zell?
Well, I'm going to undercut you, man, because adequate nowadays, whenever I say adequate, I mean it's good enough.
Yeah.
That is coming in at between 40 and 60 bucks.
Yeah, I guess, because you can get that blur for, what, 50?
Well, I was thinking the newer ones. You've got the steel wheel stuff. You've got the Best Tech stuff.
Yeah.
And several others, and several Kershaws in that $40 to $100 range. And those are all, for the most part, really, really good knives. To kind of turn what you're saying on its head just a little bit, I do think, though, the place where you are hitting your cross point, where each extra dollar spent doesn't get you very much, that's no longer around 100 bucks like it was a year or so ago. I think that's really moved up to around 140, 150 bucks.
Yeah, the point of diminishing returns.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're just paying for extra bells and whistles that aren't going to make it any better.
Yeah, but getting over the hill to where you're getting a reasonable quality knife, that's come down a bunch. It's down at around $40, $50.
Yeah, I think I was thinking like 60 to 80. And then I said the same thing. If you just want something really nice, you know, 150 or so, you know, because past 150, the differences between a 150 and a $300 knife aren't a whole lot anymore. What are you doing, Nick? Are you making a Frankenstein monster over there or something?
No, my dogs were both whining for some water. I didn't think y'all could hear me. Sorry about that.
I thought you were like brewing a monster in a lab or something like that. I was waiting for a lightning strike and a.
I was like, no, they ain't gonna hear this.
Your mic is better than you think it is.
It is.
Now I'm better. Now I'm back.
But I'm saying, like, for the, I do agree with what Zell said. If you just want a user worker knife, I mean, D2 is a great steal for that. And how many knives can you get for 40 bucks with D2 now?
Yeah, and I you know, whenever I gave my answer, I totally was not even thinking about D2 at the time. And that's why I gave the number, because I was thinking S30V and up or 154cm. And totally forgot about the D2.
And you got to think wider than D2, though. I mean, we've got 14C28N, 12C28N. Yep. And you know, as much as I hate it, we've got BG10 in there as well.
I thought we were talking about like your premium steel, you know, like a premium type steel. I didn't know we were talking about like more where you could still get a good budget. Budget steel, that's still going to be a good steel.
Yeah, and we got to really, I mean, you got to think about that word, but that's a tough one. Because budget for us, you know, might be that
$150 bucks.
$120 Manix 2 lightweight with S110V.
Yeah.
But the average guy, it's not. The average guy, whenever he looks at a $100 knife, that's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely know that. Just like all the guys at work, you know, whenever I would do knife sales, they're like, "What you got for 20 bucks?" Like,
oh yeah.
Oh, I got. You can go to somebody else.
Right.
I don't have them.
Yeah, it's a perception thing. And there's nothing wrong with spending a whole lot more on a knife. Yeah. I mean, we all do it, and it is. But a lot of it is jewelry. And I was actually talking to was it one of you guys the other night on the phone? No, it was my friend Mike. We were talking about it. And, you know, when you spend a lot of money on a knife, there is a value in just knowing that you have it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just knowing that it's in your pocket, that you have a $300 really nice knife you truly love, like, in your pocket, and it makes you feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is
same with
that
watches,
is a real value.
Like,
yeah,
that.
Watches, cars, everything. It's the same. Just
you
knowing
know,
you have
all
it.
Tell in time. It's just, you know, that I got, it says Rolex on it, or it says this on it.
Right.
Yeah, but as far, yeah, I think as far as just being a useful tool, yeah, the price has dropped way down. Like, even in the two, I've been doing this a lot less than you guys have, but even in the last 2 or 3 years since I started collecting stuff, it's amazing how much it's dropped down.
Well, it had to, because you got a lot of overseas companies now that aren't just doing OEM work. They're actually producing knives and selling them without the middleman, you know? So there's such a, that's something, I don't know who I was talking about the other night, but I was like, just think, we were talking about OG collectors, and I was like, just think back. I know whenever I first kind of got into the YouTube scene, not on YouTube, but just watching YouTube about knives, there was, they called it the Holy Trinity of knives, and that was Hinderer, Strider, and the Sabenza. And if you had those three, that was the top dog of the production world, you know?
Yeah, and you dropped a grand on those three.
Yeah,
at
but
least.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? That was the upper echelon of knives. If you had those three, you know, you had the best of the best anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And that was when mid-techs were a thing, until Riot kind of made mid-techs obsolete.
Yeah.
And companies like we, and, you know, the ones that are making high-end production knives.
And the higher-end Spyderco's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on a related note, like, we talk about budget steals versus super steals, and like, I think all three of us, if we're fair to admit to ourselves, our definition of budget steal is different than an average human being's.
Well,
yeah.
But budget steal versus super steal, considering all the factors involved, not just like edge retention, stuff like that. We're talking like, you know, corrosion resistance, the ability to actually sharpen the damn thing. Like, I'm talking about this Crewair Mannix in my pocket, and I know I don't have the ability to sharpen it properly when it needs to be properly fully sharpened. I can strop it and stuff, but I'm going to need to send it out. So when people ask, like, what kind of steel do I need, like, what do you guys kind of steel? Do you steer them more towards what we call budget steels, or do you think, like, who really needs a super steel? This is a very open question.
Okay.
Well, you answer this one, Zell.
No, you go ahead, Nick. I've got an expanded version.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Well, for me, I ask a ton of questions, and I start off by saying, you know, are you looking for something that's going to hold an edge for a long time? And if that's the case, I need to know whether you know how to sharpen a knife or not. And I'm not just saying, can you turn it, can you pull it through one of them carbide things that rips steel off the edge of your knife? And if I think they're capable of sharpening a knife, then, you know, I can steer them anywhere from 154 on the lower end, you know, to hold an edge. And then, you know, I don't ever send any of my buddies anything over like S35EN, because that's where I start. You either have to have a really good knowledge of sharpening, or you have to have a fixed angle sharpening system, in my eyes. So, I also, you know, asking them what they're going to be doing in our climate. I'm not going to recommend so much of, you know, tool steels and those type of steels. It's going to be pretty much a stainless steel. But I tend to lean on the S30, S35EN. Now, like I said, if I know they don't know how to sharpen and they want to be able to keep it sharp, I will recommend they get a Spyderco sharp maker and get something with either, say, 14C 28N. I wouldn't throw D2 in there, because that one's a lot harder to sharpen than, you know, some of the 14Cs and I found it not to be harder.
It just takes longer.
Well, but right. But that equates to some people thinking that it's a lot harder, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because it's taken a lot longer. They think they're not doing it right, you know, or anything like that. For me, I know a steel that I like to use that is extremely easy for me to sharpen. And when I say easy for me to sharpen is when I'm not using a wicked edge. Because whenever I'm giving people advice, I got to remember that they don't have a wicked edge. Because having the wicked edge, I don't really worry about what steel it is because I know I can sharpen it on it for the most part. But the 14C, I like that a lot. I find it very easy to sharpen. Some VG10s and some 440Cs. Those are I like those a lot. And CPM 154. Those are my go-tos for my friends.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen back in love with 154. Like, it's just lately, I've had a couple of them in, and it's just, God, it's so easy to work with. And
it's a great, like, it's a great jack-of-all-trades type of knife. It's not a master of any, but it's good. It's like, pretty good at everything. Like, the corrosion's good on it. The wear resistance is good on it. Toughness is good on it, but I will say this too, and some people don't know this, but there's a really big difference between 154 and CPM 154.
Oh yeah, I like the CPM 154. Yeah.
Like very yeah. big difference, and I saw that difference that came out very big in my DPX Hess Urban that was made by Florian Knives. It's in 154 CM and it just does not hold the edge I thought it would.
Well, 154, I've actually heat treated that stuff and messed with it. And it's a steel I actually avoid. We made some 154 CM, made some knives in it. One of them ended up with my brother's girlfriend. And that we heat treated that batch of steel by the book, straight from Crucible, exactly how they said to do it. And she brought that blade back after it was about a week, and it was just all sorts of corroded. Now, as far as holding an edge, all that stuff, it did all that stuff fine.
Dang, but I thought it had good corrosion resistance. No,
it should, but
yeah,
we had her, you know, go about her day doing stuff with a couple of the other blades we had done. And we got the same result. So we ended up, we put some kind of coating on those. I don't remember what exactly we did. But what we found out is if you get good quality from Crucible or Carpenter's 440C, that you get about the same as 154CM on all the edge holding stuff, but you get the great corrosion resistance.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now that 440C done, and it doesn't have to be done the best, and Ganzo is a good example that even the middle line 440C is a good budget steel.
Oh yeah,
easy to shrop.
I would love to see it heat treated better by a bunch of these companies, or get better steel to begin with, because, you know, 440C is another one of those that has an ANSI or ANISI formula, so to speak.
Yeah.
So anybody can, you know, mix it up in the foundry and call it 440C, and just as long as they're within the tolerances.
And then they like D2.
They want to, and, you know, as we know with some companies, it comes up not so good. With others, it comes up really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find another big aspect that I like to look at is this. I don't know if this is a word, but the stroppability of a knife.
It's a word.
You know, it's some of them are just 440C, 14C. There's another one, S35, and a few other ones. I'll tell you another one that I absolutely love is Hat 40. that steel, for what it is, how tough it is, it was super easy for me to sharpen and very easy to maintain, but it's not most attainable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know you were chalking at the bit cell on this topic. You had something you really wanted to say about it.
All right. Well, what I want to talk about with this is you've got, not only do you have sharpening, and of course, the harder the steel is, more abrasion resistant, the harder it is to sharpen, or the longer it takes, however you want to look at it. But you've also got, what does the person need or want? Because you've got edge types. Like, you guys know that I despise VG10. Is VG10 truly a bad steel? Well, no, it's not. But the problem I have with VG10 is, for most of the work I do, I want a fine edge on my knife. And VG10, the fine edge, just rolls right off of it. You know, and it's like, you cut two pieces of cardboard, fine edge is gone. But it holds a working edge for a really long time. And there's this class of steels that are great for budget steels that get overlooked. And that's, Staz has already covered some of them. We got the VG10s, the 14C 28N, and the 12C, I believe it's also 28N. And those steels, they hold this working edge for a very long time. And, you know, it's not like, it's not going to shave the hair off your arms, but it's going to cut whatever you need to have cut. You know, and those, whenever we're looking at that price comparison deal, those are the ones I look at, because you've got D2, and yeah, D2 will get to a fine edge. It's a really good steel. It's hard, and it'll hold a fine edge for a while, and then it'll hold a crappy edge for to the end of time. But it's hard to sharpen, and you know, that's that deal. If someone doesn't at least have a sharp maker, how are they supposed to take care of that stuff? And then you get into stuff that we use, you know, like the M390 and the even the S35EN, which is somewhat easier to sharpen than a bunch of the others, is still harder to sharpen. And we've got, just looking at the stuff on the desk, some 20CV and, I don't know what else. S110V, try to sharpen 3V. That.
3V.
S90V. 10V.
S90V. I mean, all those are great steels, but if you're doing stuff like I do and you need that fine edge, they're great. Or if you're a person who is going to purchase a knife and you're not going to sharpen it, you're going to send it out to somebody like the Apostle P or Fanatic Edge or something like that, get the hardest freaking steel you can get.
Yeah.
Because
unless you could be doing impact stuff.
Right. But like this, this 20 CV that's in this 0393 that I just got. The one thing I've noticed for 2018 that has been huge in my mind, and it started kind of end of last year, is these companies are figuring out how to sharpen knives before they go out the door.
Absolutely. I've noticed exactly the same thing. Like I had three reviews in a row where I said, this is the sharpest knife I've ever gotten out of the box.
Yep.
Like, and it was, I told Zell three in a row.
That I actually, with the Best Tech Pebble, whittled a hair out of the box. I was amazed.
Yep, I got that Wee Minotaur, and I said, this is the sharpest. I got the ZT-069. I said, this is like the sharpest knife I got out of the box. And then I got the Wee Minotaur, and I said, this is tied with the sharpest knife I ever got out of the box. And
yeah,
then
I got that.
And then I got the Viter, and that thing's like a razor blade.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't that long ago that one of the reasons that I've got a KMP and a Wicked Edge and all this sharpening stuff was, you know, even my Hinderer, an XM18, $400-some knife, right? I got it out of the box, right? And it's kind of sharp.
Yeah, that's a huge down for me.
And it's just something that became a norm that's getting better, because the norm just a year ago was, a knife showed up here, I'd look at it, I might do a first look video on it, and then it went up on the sharpener.
Yeah, you needed the sharpening stuff to correct what wasn't finished from the factory.
Yeah, the uneven grind, it wasn't apexed, it had some kind of crappy, now, like this 0393 that I just picked up, and these Wees that just showed up, I've stropped them just because I want the edge to have a little bit more shine to it. And that's about it. Because they, and that's an awesome thing that the companies are doing this. In fact, the, Rake P801SF.
Oh, that's another one. That was one that I got on the way too.
Oh, cool. But I've been carrying that thing off and on for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. I've never sharpened it. Now, it is 14C2810, so stropping it is somewhere close to sharpening it. But,
yeah.
All I've done is really strop it every once in a while.
That's a sweet little knife, though.
Yeah, I think that was the most requested knife for me to get on from my subscribers. So I finally broke. I don't have any right knives. So yesterday, Friday, I decided to throw one in my Amazon cart. So I could review it.
That's why I have a Kershaw Atmos on the way. Same thing. Everybody kept.
That's another one that I kind of like too.
Yeah, I need to get some of these Kershaws with the KVT in them. I just
this will be my first. I'm very very intrigued because having worked on bicycles forever, I can make bearings do amazing things. So I'm interested to get it.
You need to do a video so I can see how you're working your magic.
It's not that difficult. It's not even video worthy. We're getting off topic, but I just do a little mix of the heavyweight nano oil and a little bit of grease and just kind of mix them together.
I'd use 10 weight and lithium grease on some certain knives.
Yeah, I put the 85 weight nano oil and then just a tiny bit of grease and then just flip it and flip it and flip it for about 10 minutes. And so it all's mixed together good. And that's my magic serum.
Like it. Well, look, back on topic, me and Zell actually talked about this yesterday and I'm hoping to do a video about it here soon. I don't know. It was before we even had the topic that we were going to go over today. I was kind of wanting to see the edge holding difference between 12C27, the one above 14C28, OS8, VG10. No, VG10 I didn't put in there. OS8 and 440C. And I had one knife of those steels from... one from Real Steel, one from Best Tech, one from Boker, and just a variety. And I decided to test absolute sharpness of the actual, you know, the razor edge of it by doing phone book paper and where the working edge was at with printer paper. And I cut 30 slices of the exact same cardboard, 2-ply, nothing scientific, but my results were so close with all those steels that I could not give an upper edge with any of them on that type of cutting.
Yeah, it feels like some of the more budget steels are the higher end budget steels, I guess. The super budget steels are kind of dealer's choice. Like, I feel the same way about, like, that Tangram uses that 440 Akuto.
Yeah.
And I've had really good luck with it.
Well, I mean, did you see, I did a rope cut test with that Akuto just to kind of compare it to 8CR and regular 440C. And with a mirror polish edge, it did great. Now, I will say, with the Akuto, it lost its razor edge almost instantly.
Yeah, definitely.
It kept a great working edge, just like all those knives, the steels I just talked about. Every one of them might not have been able to cut printer paper after 30 cuts of 2-ply cardboard, but they were still zipping through the cardboard like they were razor sharp.
Yeah, I compared it against a 14C28 Real Steel and an OS8, I can't remember, a Boker OS8 and... Spyderco VG10 butter knife and and Kershaw's 8CR, which I think Kershaw's 8CR is a lot better than most of the regular ones, and it held up just as well as they did. Like, the differences were very negligible.
It's all depend on what you're cutting to.
Yeah,
and it's what you're going to find with most of that group of budget steels. The big thing about your 8CR, it's 8CR 13 MOV is what most of them use, is all of those other steels you just mentioned are way more corrosion resistant.
Oh, absolutely. Than
13. And so your 14C28 in, your 13C, would you say 27 in? I can't ever remember.
Whatever it is. We know what you mean.
Those were first designed to be razor steels, and they're very resistant. And your VG10 was designed to be very corrosion resistant. So, you know, that's one reason to actually get a step above your 8CR13 stuff, is because those Sandvik steels, which are kind of the first step up, and they're great, and they got about the same performance as the 8CR, but with no corrosion.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed. Oh, yeah, because my son just learned that the hard way. He was cutting up some food with his Spyderco Tenacious and put it away.
Yeah, he told me this.
Yeah, and it was all messed up. And I wanted to use it for a video for a comparison, and I opened it up. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, hey, that's another little subtopic. I think me and you talked about it, Zell. I had one of my D2 knives that I had sharpened up on the wicked edge, and I mean, I had it screaming sharp. And, you know, I was testing it, whittling hair with it and stuff, and I laid it down. I didn't get back. I was about to do a review with it, and I didn't get back to it till 7 days later. And I picked the knife up, and I was just testing sharpness on phone book paper, and it had all kinds of snags in it. So I come unglued. I'm yelling at the wife and the kids, who used the knife? I was, you know, blaming them. I thought somebody had used it and they, you know, hit it on something because it had some little fine micro pits in it. Well, I was thinking about it because I had this issue with one of my other D2 knives that a corrosion problem, because in my knife room, it gets fairly cold in there, so stuff can get a little damp. Well, I did a little quick small test on like four or five of my D2 knives from various companies that I trusted to be authentic D2, and all of them, they were all sharp, like all the same sharpness. I think I put a micro bevel on each one of them, so they were all about the same, and I left them all of them for 7 days, just like I did the other one. And almost every one of them were not super sharp anymore. And what I found was that at the apex of those edges had small bits of corrosion on it that was hindering the edge after 7 days.
Yeah, we have to remind you here, Nick, you live in Louisiana.
Yeah, but this was inside.
He's the swamp man.
Yeah. But I just thought it was interesting, especially for people who have D2 and they're wondering why their D2 knife, you know, I didn't cut anything with it in a month. Well, sometimes it's best to hit it on a strop so you can get any, and this was like really minute. I couldn't even see the corrosion except on my pocket microscope. And it was just small little bitty dots of corrosion on the apex. And that, you know, that's enough to cause your edge to be dull.
Right.
We are well over an hour here now, so we should probably start trying to wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
So we hate to have anyone die.
I don't want anybody to fall asleep.
Yeah. They may be driving or, God forbid, ignoring their family while listening to us. I don't think we have any grievances against each other this week. I have one for Zell, but I think it's classified, so I can't bring it up here.
God, Zell, he's always picking on you.
No kidding, man.
Yeah, it's a naming issue.
I'm
not allowed to bring that up here, am I?
Yeah.
No, we can do that here.
Talk about it another day.
All right, I'll edit that out. yeah, I don't think I have any real grievances with you guys. I think we've mostly all agreed with each other the last couple of weeks watching each other's reviews and stuff. I haven't seen anything that I was...
If I have a grievance, I'm just making shit up, so it's not going to happen.
I'm nervous about Zell getting a Viator, because if he hates it, we're never going to hear the end of it.
No, I don't think... I really think he's going to like that one, because he's going to like the stiff backspring on it.
It's wicked stiff. And what scales did you get on that?
Oh, that's a surprise, man. I'm not telling.
Yeah, you know that's for review time only.
I got three.
I have no idea what I have, to be quite honest.
I got the carbon fiber to my card in the G10. Not a huge fan of the G10. It's a bit too grippy coming in and out of my pocket.
So what he's saying, Zell, if you want them, you can have them.
But the Micarta ones are perfect. The carbon ones,
I like that.
The carbon ones are a bit shiny for me.
Well, here,
I definitely like them.
Whenever I talked to Marianne, I told her, I gave her one color that I did want if they had it in stock. And from there, I said, send me whatever you think make the knife the best on screen and or whatever is your favorite.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
I got the carbon to because it would look good in the review. I got the micarta for me to actually use. And what are you doing now, Nick?
No kidding.
God, my mic is really good.
It's really good. Yeah. Are you hacking through a dog food bag or something?
I was testing the edge out of my knife. I've been stropping the whole time we've been talking.
Do it later. We'll be done in 5 minutes. And then I got the G10 because I want to compare it to the Zip Slip. And in the G10, it's almost exactly the same price as the Zip Slip is. So.
Yeah, well, I don't have any idea except for the one color. And Marianne's just surprising me with the rest of it. I told her, you know, whatever she thinks is her favorite.
She's going to send you white.
Probably, and that's okay.
She loves the white G10.
Well, I like the micarta the most.
Yeah, I've got the dark brown. They call it burgundy micarta. It's dark brown.
Yeah, right. It's only burgundy when it's machined.
Yeah.
Like down below.
And then they're all gone. But Blade HQ has an exclusive for a natural micarta. It's a bit lighter.
Yeah, that's more like a tan.
But the micarta is definitely, I think, the best texture wise. And also, if you guys don't subscribe to, this isn't a commercial for Three Rivers. They don't give me any money at all. I bought mine. I'm sure Zell bought his too.
Yes.
But MI Tycoon, or is it? Yeah. Am I doing that right?
Yeah.
MI Tycoon.
MT Tycoon, huh?
MT, something like that. On search for Three Rivers.
Tycoon.
MT Tycoon. Find that on Instagram. That's Marianne. Very good Instagram. They posted probably my favorite Instagram post from a knife maker in forever. She posted a picture of a white one with blood on it and said, "Our warning about our knives being sharp is real." And I thought that was hilarious because she got bit the same way I get bit by mine. And
see, I don't want to start any grievances. My favorite knife posts from knife makers are all from Zellrick.
Oh my god.
I had to do it.
You already got the rectifier before anybody else. You can stop kissing his ass now.
You set yourself up.
It's just
one.
Egregious at this point.
If you weren't on vacation, I would have sent it to you.
Yeah, I know.
But that hurt my feelings.
But instead, you are last on the list.
Yep, and I asked to be, but I'm probably going to own a rectifier before the list comes around to me, but.
Doesn't matter. You already signed up for the list. You're getting it anyhow.
Oh, I know. I want it. No, I want the other one with it. What's the vapor? Is it the vapor that's with it?
Deviate the rectifier and the wisp.
On that one, you're the end, so you'll end up with all four of them approximately the same time.
Woohoo! All right. Well, I think it's about time to wrap it up. We're not mad at each other this week, so that's good. We'll have to work harder on that.
Yeah, we can
speak
do that.
For yourselves.
And yeah. We're just keeping our anger to ourselves. But I really hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. We'll be back again as soon as we can. I'm guessing it's probably going to be sometime early in May. I've been Brian from Slicey Dicey.
Oh, hang on. You need to tell them one more time what they got to do to enter.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Right. Please email us, SliceyDiceyPodcast@gmail.com, with a question or... No, how about just a question? I'm not going to encourage insults yet. We're not there yet.
I don't want nobody to hurt my feelings.
I'm already the spandex-clad moron of the knife world, so I don't need it anymore. That's an inside joke. But please email us, slicedicypodcast@gmail.com, with your questions. We will try to get to as many of them as we can next week. And then we all will all vote by secret ballot and decide who had the best question. And you'll win a nice little prize package from Best Tech. And I think we have another sponsor coming up in a couple episodes that will be, you may get even more stuff. Maybe we'll do a couple of giveaways in episodes. So please keep tuning in.
Shows how much we love our viewers.
And also, please, guys, a little side note. I know we're doing really well on iTunes and on Podomatic and all that. But please also, if you have time, go over and subscribe to the Slicey Dicey Podcast YouTube channel. We're a few away from being able to get a custom URL, and I'd really like to do that just to make it easier for everybody. So if you enjoy this, go subscribe to us on Slice Dicey Podcast on the YouTubes. If you don't listen to it that way, that's fine. We just have a little bit of a little cutoff before we can get a custom URL, so I'd like to be able to do that. But we very much appreciate your support so far. We've gotten 90% positive feedback, and I think we fixed the audio in this episode. We'll see once I listen back to it, but it sounds a lot better in my earphones, so...
Except for my few little mishaps.
Yeah, but yeah, that's you're always going to be a problem. We're used to it.
Yeah, I'm that problem child.
10 podcasts in, we may have you lined out, but I doubt it.
Yeah. I was about to say don't be betting on that.
We're going to put them on a push to talk switch.
We'll be sending you an Amazon package with a microphone to push to talk switch.
Yeah.
All right. Now I thought we weren't having grievances in this one.
Oh yeah, I guess all of our listeners have a grievance against you, Nick, though.
Yeah, I know.
The background noise.
It's okay. I still love you guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yes, have a great one.
Have a good evening, guys.